This episode is brought to you by Ursa Minor Outfitters. Folks, I'm absolutely in love with my Loon mug. It's handmade. It's an absolute piece of art. Whether it's at the office or at the house, people keep asking to check it out. If you're not a Loon fan, they also have other beautiful mugs for wildlife fans of moose, bears, and eagles. They specialize in products highlighting the outdoors and local pride through quality design by local artists. They've even started expanding into items beyond mugs, like apparel, dog accessories, and soon candles and more. They also try to partner and highlight other small businesses, and in some cases, forgo profits in lieu of charitable giving to help their community, such as the dog rescue. So check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and enter promo code HikesMikes10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for our four-legged hiking partners, they also have a portable silicone dog bowl and also a sweet over-the-collar dog bandana. Go check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and don't forget to enter promo code HikesMikes10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Welcome everyone to the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm your host, Ivan, and together we'll embark on a weekly journey connecting with extraordinary hikers from all corners of the U.S. and beyond. As the cool and colorful embrace of fall envelops the Northern Hemisphere, we've had the privilege of conversing with remarkable individuals throughout this season. Their experiences and adventures will leave you yearning to hit the trails. And in today's episode, we're heading down to the Southwest to speak with our first guest from New Mexico. She's an amazing ambassador for her state and the outdoor opportunities it has to offer. Her name is Chris, and you can follow her adventures on Instagram at JustaChris. That's JustaKrys. Chris shares with us some of her favorite hikes and areas around New Mexico, including the beautiful Oregon Mountains near Las Cruces. She also shares with us some of New Mexico's other hidden gems, including hot springs and a giant roadrunner statue made out of recycled materials with an amazing viewpoint. Without further ado, let's jump into this episode with our guest, Chris. Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm really excited to have this guest with us today. We're going to be exploring a new state that we haven't had showcased on the podcast. Her name is Cristina, and she's going to be sharing about all her beautiful hikes in and around New Mexico and the Southwest. Thanks, Cristina, for joining us on the podcast. We always like to start off by asking our guests how long they've been hiking for and how they got started.
Thank you for having me here. I'm really excited. So I've been hiking now at the start of my undergraduate. So that was back in like 2007 when I started hiking. And I kind of just got started because I remember as a little kid really liking one specific hike that my family members had taken me on. And I don't know, that experience and memory kept replaying in me. And just when I got into college, I started wanting to get out there again. And that's when I kind of slowly started going with like the neighbor and then just trying to find other people who were interested in hiking.
One thing that your feed has definitely taught me was the diversity of landscape New Mexico has to offer. We were talking before we started recording that I was able to go to White Sands and see the more desert landscape New Mexico has to offer, but you've been showcasing some really beautiful mountains and forests. How would you describe the hiking scene in and around New Mexico?
Yeah, I think our hiking scene here in New Mexico, there's a lot. Whether you're in the southern part, western, eastern, and northern part, you're going to find different community groups that are actually out there getting together. They're hiking, or you will drive hours just to go meet other people to go hike, whether it's more in the desert, like southern New Mexico, where we also do have some mountains, the Oregon Mountains. Or if you want to go more into the forest, you have to drive about between 2.5 to like about 5 to 6 hours, just depending where in the state you want to go. And you get some beautiful, luscious green forest. You have like rivers. So you get to do some river crossings and you get all the beautiful wildflowers. So I just feel like there is a lot to do. And I just love being able to meet the different people because of the connection. And it's really awesome to see people so passionate about New Mexico because there really is a lot here.
Definitely. And, you know, we're recording this episode at the tail end of summer, going into fall. Do you have any favorite summer hikes that you did this last year?
I got to go back to Lake Catherine, which is in the Santa Fe Forest. That's always nice. So I got to do some backpacking there. And I also just recently went to Wheeler Peak, which is the highest point in New Mexico. So that's also fun. That was my second time going there as well. And the weather was magnificent. Couldn't have asked for a more beautiful weekend to be out there. I also got to do some other hiking, but that was outside of New Mexico. I got to explore part of Colorado, so that was also fun. But in New Mexico, those that I mentioned were beautiful.
I feel like the Southwest with Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, Arizona, you guys are perfectly situated where, like you're saying, go 5-6 hours in any direction and you can hit some different landscapes. You know, one of the big things, especially in the Northeast, is the fall colors. What's the fall hiking season like in New Mexico?
So in southern New Mexico, you probably would have to go to Cloudcroft, which is about a little over 2 hours away. That's going to be in one of the forests where you're going to have the aspens there turning yellow, between yellow and orange. So that's super beautiful. If you want to get some more beautiful fall colors, that's when we're having to drive up to Santa Fe, into Taos, where there's even an abundance of aspens up there, where the trees are just multicolored up there. I haven't been up there for the fall. I'm always going up there either before or after the fall colors. So I usually have to go to Cloudcroft to go get my fall colors.
And I know, you know, winter's not too far behind. And when I was driving through, I noticed that you guys have some ski resorts in New Mexico. So that kind of made me wonder, what's the winter hiking scene in and around New Mexico? Because you guys definitely get quite a bit of snow up in the higher elevations.
So in the higher elevations, I know that people, if they're going to go hiking, it's only because it's probably in the lower elevation where like the trails are not extremely, you know, they're not covered in snow. If they are going to go where there's more snow, I do know a lot of people go snowshoeing. So that's also an option to go do, get your hikes in as well. In southern New Mexico, like where I'm from, we don't really have to worry about snow. So our trails are pretty much open year round. If we get some snow, to be honest, in southern New Mexico, it's going to melt. So it's just going to get a little muddy, but that's one thing I don't have to worry about down south. Like exploring the Oregon Mountains, you might encounter some snow and maybe some ice, but as long as you take your proper gear, you can still keep going. It doesn't get dangerous where you can't go hiking in southern New Mexico.
You know, when I was living in Phoenix, we wouldn't get snow really in Phoenix, but you could definitely tell in the mountains behind Phoenix, the snow-capped peaks. Do you get that? Where you're from, where, you know, the lower elevation, it's still dry, but then up in the mountains, you get the snow-capped peaks.
Yes. In the Oregon Mountains, you'll see the peaks once like it starts to snow. Like in the valley, we won't get any, but the mountain peaks will at least have, you can see they're like, just like a little covering of snow. And that's always beautiful because it makes the mountain peaks just like so much more amazing. If you're, for example, at White Sands, you'll be able to see the Lincoln National Forest, where you can see the mountain peaks over there covered in snow. And also, depending where you are in the Oregon Mountains, you can also look to the west and you can see the Gila National Forest, where you can see some of those peaks over there that also have snow. So that's here in southern New Mexico. In the Lincoln, people go, that's where people go skiing, and sometimes we'll go snowboarding, just depending on the amount of snow we get. If not, you have to definitely drive up more north to get more snow where people go snowboarding and skiing, where that season is a lot longer anyway.
You know, bringing up White Sands, I feel like, you know, what took me to New Mexico for the first time was White Sands and seeing the national park. But your state has so much more to offer outside of Carlsbad Caverns and White Sands. What are some of your favorite parks or national forests that you like to visit outside of the national park system?
Well, the Oregon Mountains is a part of an actual national monument, so I spend a lot of time there. so beautiful. It's close to home too. And that national monument, it's called the Oregon Mountain Desert Peaks National Monument. And it's comprised of more about 5 mountain ranges, which are scattered throughout different portions of southern New Mexico. So I like to go explore the different peaks. There's like Picacho Peak. It's a really small mountain, but it gives you a good workout and it gives you a good view into the Valley of Las Cruces. And then you get to see the Oregon Mountains as well. So I like to do that for a sunrise because the sun comes up from behind the peaks and it just illuminates them. Or going to Picacho Peak for sunset is also gorgeous because then to the west, you have Deming and where the Gila Forest is at as well. Of course, the Gila Forest mountains are pretty far out there, but you can still see in the general area that it's at. And so that sky will just illuminate. And from that peak, you can just see all of that. So that's awesome. In addition to those two national parks that you just mentioned, I love going to the Gila Forest a lot. There's a lot to hike there, but in particular, I love going to go do a backpacking trip. So about 14 to 15 miles round trip to some gorgeous hot springs that I love to go visit. And they're very beautiful. You do have to hike in about 7.5 miles in. The first 4 miles, it's like on a maintained trail. Then you drop down into a canyon. And then the next couple of miles before you hit the hot springs, you do some river crossings. So a total of 15 going one way. When you exit out, the same thing, but it's just so beautiful back there. It's so peaceful. I know that trail like by heart. I don't like, you know, sometimes we have to use like navigation map or even a paper map. Like I don't have to do that because I just like know it by heart. And it's such a beautiful, unique place to be at. And it's New Mexico. It's just so gorgeous. Like, and it's just tucked. I call it like that hidden gem or oasis.
And I'm glad you brought up the hot springs because that's something, again, I didn't realize New Mexico had hot springs. And I feel like it's something that you showcase really well, not just in New Mexico, because you've also gone outside of the state for some hot springs, especially up here in the Pacific Northwest. What are some of your favorite hot springs in New Mexico, as well as some memorable ones outside of the state?
So in New Mexico, there are two that I absolutely do love. The Jordan Hot Springs, those are the ones that I was just referring to. Those were the first hot springs I ever went to. And I think that's also why they're going to be even more special to me. And it was also part of like my first like more organized backpacking trip that I went to. Like I had a little bit more experience and I had like all the right gear because my actual first backpacking trip was a cowboy style backpacking trip, which is it's another level, you know? So the Jordan Hot Springs, after that, I really love the San Antonio Hot Springs, and that's in more of the northern New Mexico. And I'm actually going to go there next weekend. I'm going to be doing a Women Who Explore event there. So I'm looking forward to that. And the ones outside of New Mexico, the one that I don't remember the name of it, but it's in Oregon. When I went, it was amazing because the hot springs were like right off a cliff. Like you're on the cliff and you can see and hear the river right below us.
The hot spring that you're referring to, because it cascades, right? It's not just
it's like on top and then it drops down and there's a couple of them. I think it's a well-known one. I went there with Women Who Explore. Wow. I wish I could remember the name of it, but that one was so beautiful and I had never been to anything like that. And so that's the only one I've been to outside of New Mexico. In Oregon anyway. I've been to some other ones also in Colorado, but the one in Oregon is the one that really stood out to me.
You know, you've mentioned it already, but you've gotten into backpacking and you've done some amazing backpacking trips. For someone like me who just got into backpacking this season, how was your journey going from, you know, like a day hiker into backpacking?
I want to say, first off, that's really cool that you just got into backpacking because it's really amazing. Oh,
thank you. Thank you.
My journey getting into backpacking started because of the first backpacking trip I told you about, that it was a cowboy camping backpacking experience. That was to the highest point of the Oregon Mountains. It's called the Oregon Needle. I had been wanting to go there for the longest time. And at that time, I was aware that I should go with a guide, not try to do the Oregon Needle on my own, because it can be it's technical. You could get lost. There's so many different routes. And so a lot of people sometimes have to get rescued from there, because if you take that wrong turn, you can get lost, and you have to get rescued because then the sun's going down and it gets dark and you don't know your way around. So I wanted to do it with a guide, and the only person I knew at that time, he was at that time 72 years old, and that was going to be the way that he guides his people up there, is through a backpacking trip. And so while I was already doing hiking and I knew I wanted to go to the Oregon Needle because I had heard so many good things about it, I was like, well, it's going to be this or never. And so I ended up buying and getting some gear. And that was my first intro. And so mainly the reason I did backpacking was because I wanted to get up to the Oregon Needle. So I did my first one of cowboy camping. I remember sleeping on the trail and I was so scared. I was like, am I going to eat bugs? Is a bug going to go in my mouth? Like, what's going to happen? Because I just have a sleeping pad and I'm on a sleeping bag and I'm going to eat something. Now, whether I ate something or not, I don't know. But I do remember it was a good experience, a good intro. I would not recommend that as an intro now that I know what I know. So definitely that was kind of like what kind of led me into backpacking. So after that, I started getting connected into hiking groups. And that's when I got involved with meetup hiking groups. And then I heard that they were going to do some backpacking trips. And so that's when I did more of that's when I told you earlier that I got to do a more like structured, organized backpacking trip, because a backpacking trip, I don't think is the most ideal in cowboy camping and to such a difficult trail. Like, I would not recommend that to somebody who's just starting.
Yeah.
That was my experience. And I guess I kind of started on the opposite end, something very extreme. It didn't make me move away from backpacking. Rather, it made me more intrigued and tried to learn more.
I feel like this is something that a lot of new backpackers always have to deal with, especially when they're starting off. And I'm interested in knowing how your progression has been, especially from cowboy camping to backpacking with additional gear. But I'm always trying to reduce the weight of my pack. How has that progressed? Because with cowboy camping, you know, you leave some of the heavier items, but how's the progression been with hiking with tents and additional items compared to that first experience?
Definitely, like, you're having to invest into some really good lightweight things.
Yeah.
And as I started to research, of course, the cost of backpacking might sound very intimidating. I always recommend people, like, if you can rent from somewhere, just to make sure that's the investment you want to do. If you can borrow, or if you can go with someone who knows what they're doing, and then you can learn from their experience, you can learn from their gear. Some of the things that I learned from some tips was try to go as lightweight as possible, not extremely most expensive either, but there's some in between there, and also not the least expensive, because your gear lasts for a while. The majority of the stuff that I have like has lasted me years. And if I have like upgraded, it's because I'm like, ooh, this is a good bargain and why not?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's kind of like regarding gear. I feel like even me, that I've been doing it for about 4 years now, I feel like I still learned something new because the technology is evolving and you get to learn from other people and they're happy to introduce their gear. It's like they're proud. It's like their baby. You're like, oh yeah, it's this and I have this. And so you get to just share that with one another.
Oh, for sure. And I've noticed that on my backpacking trips. You know, I invested in the Sawyer Squeeze water filter. And, you know, I thought I was doing it lightweight by just carrying two smart water bottles and using that. But seeing my friends with, I forgot the brand, but it's the Be Free water filter, being able to scoop up water in the bladder. And then within like less than a minute, having 3 liters of water. And I'm just over here squeezing my smart water bottle just to get a liter. I was like, okay, I know what my next upgrade is going to be
I need to find a better water filter. And not to say that the Sawyer Squeeze doesn't have an attachment you can do, but theirs was just so much easier than what I was dealing with.
I have one of those and I absolutely love it.
The Be Free one?
Yes. The 3-liter one?
Yes.
I do love it. I do highly, I don't know, that one I really like. It's very lightweight to travel with it. Yeah. And then it filters your water pretty quickly. And as long as you maintain it clean and you replace the filter when necessary, like, and not that we're lazy out there in the woods, but when you've hiked in so long and maybe you're just tired, sometimes something that quick versus like having to, like, you know, when you were having to constantly filter and use that hand power, like you can just let gravity do the work.
Exactly. Yeah, it took them, you know, the same amount of time to get 3 liters of water as it did me to just get one. And I feel like having that makes me drink more water, which is helpful in the mountains, where I feel like with the Sawyer Squeeze and the smart water bottle, I'm like, well, I'll hold off until I really need water, which probably isn't the greatest idea. But yeah, that's on my upgrade list for sure.
It'll be a good one.
Now, you know, one post that caught my attention, and I know New Mexico has a wonderful art scene all around the state, but there's one art piece that really stuck out because of what I think might be the materials used in it. But there's a Roadrunner in Las Cruces that looks like it's made out of shoes. Can you share a little bit about that piece? And is it really made out of used shoes?
It's made out of used shoes and many other recycled items. You'll find parts of cars. You'll find like crutches on there. You'll find parts to like washers and dryers. It's just all made up and compromised of recycled items. And it's on the west side of Las Cruces on the Mesa. So I love to go there during sunset. They have like different areas where you could sit down and there you can just literally watch either a sunrise or a sunset over the Oregon Mountains. And it's a really unique, you know, structure because sculpture, I guess, is more of the proper word. But when you're driving into Las Cruces from the west, you'll see it. Even depending where you are in the city, you can also see it. Of course, it looks tiny, but the closer you get to it, it gets bigger. But it's a very unique piece of Las Cruces, I would say. Part of it, also New Mexico. It just makes it stand out and look different.
Yeah. And, you know, it's hard to kind of tell how tall it is, but how tall do you think the sculpture is?
I'm going to probably say it's maybe like 15 feet high.
Wow. Okay. So it's a big bird.
Yeah, it's a big bird. It's you stand up next to it, you look super tiny.
Yeah, I'm going to have to add it to my bucket list next time I'm in New Mexico to check that out.
You see a sunrise and a sunset from there too.
Perfect segue because you have really captured some amazing sunsets and sunrises in New Mexico. And I feel like the Southwest is untouched when it comes to sunsets, especially because some of the sunset pictures from White Sands with the mountains in the background and the colors is just incredible. But throughout the state, there's beautiful places to catch sunsets and sunrises. Outside of Las Cruces, is there any particular region that you like to go and try to capture either a sunset or a sunrise?
I think when it comes to that, I do spend more time in the southern part. So that's just kind of more what I am familiar with. But I really love going somewhere on the Mesa, like where the recycled Roadrunner sculpture is at, or at the foothills of the Oregon Mountains. That's also beautiful to catch a sunset. And other times that I have seen a sunset, I would have to say it's kind of going more towards Deming, more west, you know, because the horizon allows you to see more of. I have seen a bunch of pictures of sunsets like from the Albuquerque area over their Mesas as well. They get beautiful sunsets as well. We're talking like those bright orange, red, fiery, you know, sunset colors is what they also get there. And it's just because, you know, you have the Mesas which allow for these sunsets to really display themselves to us. And so that's what's beautiful about having Mesas.
And those colors are just unbelievable. It's almost, I'm colorblind. And the fact that I can tell how, you know, crazy gorgeous the colors are, I can only imagine those that can really see the different colors, what it looks like, because it's just spectacular. Now, you've mentioned this amazing organization that you're an ambassador for, Christina, and that's the Women Who Explore organization. Can you share a little bit about the organization and some of the great things that they're doing in the outdoor community?
Yeah, so Women Who Explore, got involved with them and I became an ambassador right when COVID happened. It just so happened to be around that time. And the reason that I actually got involved with them is that before I got involved with them, I was leading co-ed events in Las Cruces. Remember when I mentioned the Oregon Needle hike? Yeah. So that inspired me to want to give back to my community. And that's when I got first guided up there. I thought to myself, you know, somebody took the time out of their lives to go introduce this trail to me so I could be safe. And I thought it would be really cool to give back to the community and do kind of like the same thing, because had it not been for that guide, I wouldn't have gone up there because I was going to be safe about it. You just hear so many bad stories and experiences where people try to attempt it on their own and they get lost and they get injured because you go the wrong route. And so when I got involved with doing that co-ed event, I was really enjoying it. I was taking groups up to the Oregon Needle, and I kind of still do guide people up there. I do it out of my own free time of doing co-ed events there. While doing that is when I got introduced to Women Who Explore. And I thought, since I was already doing guided hikes, you know, for co-ed, both male and female, that I figured, let me go ahead and explore a little bit more into Women Who Explore. And then I found out that they were mainly about getting women together, introducing the outdoor. We're talking about any level, whether you feel that you're just beginner, you don't know where to start, or you've been doing it for a long time, but you just want to be in a group setting. And I've turned in my application to become an ambassador, and then I got approved, but then COVID happened. And I got to do one event, and then that's when we kind of like suspended doing some of our events with Women Who Explore. And then, like, you know, that's when people started opening up, like, some putting some rules and regulations on how to do safe hiking during that. But the reason that I love Women Who Explore is that they just really welcome women to get together. We're not here to like judge, like, oh my gosh, you don't know how to hike. It's like, oh, let me take some time to tell you a little bit about proper hiking shoes, trekking poles, proper day packs, snacks, water. We're also talking about like first aid kit, hat, you know, all these different things. And so it gives us the time to teach them. Again, the reason that I also got involved with it is that I wanted to give back to my community. Somebody took the time one day to teach me and show me. And Women Who Explore was another route to do that. And I feel like as women, sometimes we're looked at as like, oh, you can't go do these things because it's outdoors, or you can't do these things by yourself. By the way, I really love solo hiking. It's like the best thing. And so when I started doing more solo hikes, and I would share it on my Instagram, like I would have some women say, reach out to me, like, how do you feel comfortable doing that? And so again, I'm kind of going back and forth, but Women Who Explore, I felt, was also a good way for me to meet other women who also were like me at one point, like didn't know, like, should I do this by myself? Like, I remember doing my first solo hike. I still remember to this day, I know which one it is. And I remember I planned it in the day when it was going to be busy and that I knew how to get there and I would have cell phone service. And so I know if I had questions, other women would have to have questions. So Women Who Explore allows that opportunity of getting women together to go hiking, camping, backpacking. We also do other things such as like ice skating, or we go do meet and greets, we meet for coffee. I know we've done other events like painting events. So as an ambassador, all it is getting women together to do something together. Again, main focus is outdoors, but we also like to do other different things. And I just also recently, I'm going to start doing other events, getaways, which are on the international level. And I'm super excited about that because my first one will be coming up in Peru. Me and another ambassador, we're going to be like the lead ambassadors. We'll have a guide that's from there. And then we're going to have about 22 or 23 women that are also going to be joining us and explore the city of Cusco. But then we're going to go trek up to Machu Picchu. So I'm excited about that. And Women Who Explore allows for those opportunities of getting women together, seeing their smiles on their face when they're getting to experience something, to me is what makes it all worth it. Because, you know, everybody's going through something differently in life, and these outdoor events just like impact us. They help us, and it's like another form of healing. I feel like hiking is also extremely therapeutic. So that's one thing I like to tell women when we're out there. It's like it's therapeutic and gonna change us in one way or another.
Oh, that's beautiful. And women who explore, it's not just in New Mexico, because you said that it took you to Oregon as well. If there's listeners that want to see where the nearest chapter is, how would they go about researching?
So Women Who Explore has a website that they could go to. And on there, it's just womenwhoexplore.com. And on there, there's different tabs, and there's specifically one where it's going to indicate community. And under community is where you can discover where we have a chapter, and it breaks it down according to state in the United States, also in Canada. Those are the two countries right now that we have listed on here. But on there, women can go there and be like, oh, I want to get plugged in with a chapter in Colorado. And it'll redirect you to the Facebook chapter group. That's where we share our events, just to make it more inclusive for only women. And not that we hate men, but it's for women.
Yeah.
And so, that protects privacy. And so, yeah, they can go to the website and get connected.
Nice.
We also have an Instagram, the main one for Women Who Explore. So they can always go there and like request information. But the website's going to probably be a quicker way of locating that information. And on Instagram, we have the different chapters in the state where they can also get connected to. So New Mexico has one like Women Who Explore New Mexico. There's Women Who Explore Colorado, and then Arizona, and so forth.
And we'll be sure to add the link in the episode show notes so listeners can see where their local chapter is located. And I will say one thing that I've noticed since I moved back to the Pacific Northwest is just the diversity that's on the trail. 10 plus years ago, it was rare to see solo female hikers. Solo hikers in general, something that you didn't see that often. But now moving back, you see not just solo female hikers, but all female hiking groups, and then just a wide range of demographics on the trail, which has been amazing to see that flourish across the different trails in our country. You know, one thing that I always wonder is for individuals that want to get into hiking, but haven't had the opportunity to get into hiking. What are some tips or advice that you would give to a person that's interested in getting into hiking or backpacking, but that hasn't had the opportunity to do so?
I think the most important, to start off with is one, do research online, because there's a lot of good resources. And I would always say go to bigger, well-known websites. Like I know REI has a lot of good information, but then there's also organizations that also give out good information. Their people write blogs. And so that's a good way of getting the initial information. After that, if you can connect to, if you find out one of your friends is a hiker or a backpacker, ask them those basic questions. And everybody has had these questions. So there's no wrong question. It's I still have questions here and there. I'm like, wait, what? I thought I knew it, but I guess I don't. But that's the thing. You have to be open to learning information and willing to adapt to just technology changing and gear changing. So after you connect to some people, maybe also connect to some hiking groups, because they're or outdoor groups, organizations. There's Women Who Explore. There's also various other organizations, even in New Mexico, and I know in every other state. You just, look it up. And I know social media is a good way. You can always look up hashtags as well to get connected to those organizations. And I was going to also say another organization that I am a part of, it's called Nuestra Tierra. And they are they started off in Las Cruces, but they also like to advocate and, do the conservation of the public lands, because New Mexico has so much public land, which blows my mind, because I come to find out not every state's has this much public land that we have access to. And so Nuestra Tierra really works at trying to protect lands like that in New Mexico, in other states such as Arizona, California, Colorado. So they really like to branch out. And I've learned a lot through that organization about just the beauty and the preciousness of being able to have access to land that I feel like sometimes we just like take that for granted. Like when I'm on a trail, I'm like thinking to myself, like, I'm thankful to whoever took the time to advocate and to protect this land. And so like the Oregon Mountains, how I mentioned the Oregon Mountain Desert Peaks National Monument. And that was partly being able to be protected because Nuestra Tierra took the time, you know, one hard, difficult years of passing, making sure that it would be protected through policy. When you start getting connected, you start learning about all these different people who are truly passionate. And so that allows you to, again, sorry, kind of going a little bit. But first, doing your initial research, connecting with somebody, an organization or a hiking group. And also, if you're going to try doing more by yourself because maybe you're a little bit more timid and you're not ready to do group settings. After you do some research, I would also say start off with something easy, like an easy trail, somewhere where you know there's going to be service. Look up reviews where people are going to indicate, you know, if it's safe or not. I always say start off easy. Don't go anything difficult because then you have all these other elements. And as you slowly start learning, also just like the learning the 10 essentials to hiking. You know, if somebody wants to get started, look up the 10 essentials from hiking. There's a lot of information. And then leave no trace behind as well. Following that is also important. If you also just look that up, you're going to find some good basic information that you're like, oh, that's what they're referring to.
Yeah, some solid tips, Cristina. Now, one thing that I got to really enjoy while I was in New Mexico is your guys' food. The food scene there in New Mexico is top notch. I feel like this is mostly for day hikers, but you know, sometimes people have a summit routine or maybe an end of the hike routine. Maybe it's grabbing their favorite snack or a meal afterwards. Sometimes it's some summit beverages or even just a moment of zen. Do you have a regular custom or routine that you do once you make it to the summit or maybe once you make it back out?
Definitely my summit one, depending like where I'm at and how much I can pack in. I like to have some cafecito. At the summit, I take my little jet boil and I warm up some water and I take my favorite coffee cup and I will take some like local coffee that I ground at home and then I will have that up at the summit. If I don't have like the luxury, you know, of taking all of that, then I at least like to take a snack, a special snack to have at the summit. Just like make it more memorable. And my snacks will always change. It doesn't stay the same. But the coffee, at least the cafecito will, I'll just drink it black. That's the only time I drink black coffee, which is when I'm outdoors, which is funny because I go to a coffee shop, I'm going to ask for some sugar. And then after a summit, what I do like to do is just make sure to go get some delicious food. I usually like to go for like some bread, some steak after a really big hike. Like I'm just hungry. And that's the only thing that's helping me get down the mountain is that steak that I'm going
to
eat.
So Cristina, one question that I want to ask you, and maybe it's coffee, but when it comes to luxury items that fall out of your essential list, especially with your pack list, is there one that you tend to take a lot of the time?
So it depends, I guess, if it's hiking or backpacking. With hiking, I'm going to save the luxury item. I have to really think about that one. You made me think about it differently. I would have to say like my camera. I don't know if that necessarily counts, but I feel that it's important to me, but it's also heavy. And sometimes I have to not bring it because I don't want to carry a heavy camera with me. So when I do bring it, I consider that my luxury item because it's a part of me capturing my experience through the pictures. If it probably is hiking just because I'm closer to home, it's probably going to be like my little jet boil to bring my coffee cup because it takes up a lot of space in my pack.
Yeah.
And I really don't need it, but I want it. Not a necessity, but I make it fit in there.
And, you know, I feel like a lot of hikers and backpackers have experiences that are learning experiences where things might have not gone as planned. Sometimes it's, you know, Mother Nature catching you by surprise or an unexpected wildlife encounter. Have you had any of those memorable instances where it was a learning experience?
Weather is probably going to be the number one thing because, again, weather is so unpredictable. And you can even like read up about weather and what you're going to expect. But sometimes it changes. It like happens sooner or it's worse than what you thought. I was once stuck in a severe thunderstorm. I was finishing up a group backpacking trip. And on the way out, we probably had about, 2.5 miles before we got back to the trailhead. It was pouring hard. Like, we're talking severe thunderstorm. We're talking lightning and thunder everywhere. Mind you, we can't really stop. There's trees, but I mean, you're in a severe thunderstorm. So there were a couple of people that was their first backpacking trip. And so, yeah, I remember the poor lady like looking up in the sky, like, I don't know about this. And I'm like, we really can't have any protection anywhere.
Yeah.
So, and it's pouring hard. We just kept going. And that was something we just were not expecting, like that type of severe thunderstorm. We knew it was going to be raining, but not to that extreme. We did have our rain jackets. So we just like put on our rain jackets and we did with what we could. We were like about 0.5 mile away from the trailhead, clear skies.
Oh, no kidding. It'll be like that sometimes.
Definitely. And so I thought that was funny. Regarding wildlife, I've only encountered them like because I like to do a lot of solo sunset to night hikes. Mm-hmm. And so I have encountered like some rattlesnakes where you just have to learn how to, especially in southern New Mexico in the heat, they're more prone to be out. And we also have, I'm not sure if you've heard of the oryx.
No.
There are some, let me see. It's a type of, I guess, it's a type of species where it's actually from Africa, but for some reason they're here in southern New Mexico. I don't remember at what point they got introduced to southern New Mexico, but if you look them up, they're like a really cool, like almost look, they have really two long horns. And so I encountered one at night. And so thankfully that time I had used one of my headlamps that could really zoom out.
Mm-hmm.
And when I noticed it, what do you do to be safe? You don't go towards the wildlife. You go around. So I respected it. I was like, I'm not going to get trampled. Plus, I didn't know if they had one or two of the horns. So I totally went around and I had to go off trail through all the bushes where there was a bunch of thorns. But it was night. And so I really couldn't see the vegetation that I was going through. But I knew I was walking away from it. And then it finally disappeared. But it kept its distance. But that's because I respected it. And I didn't like try near it. You know, people have to be safe about that.
At least here in Washington, I don't know if it's still a true statistic, but for a while there, because people were getting too close to them, our local mountain goats actually were the ones that were causing the most harm to hikers.
Really?
Yeah, above cougars, above bears. It's because, yeah, people would get too close and then they would use their horns. And especially in the backcountry, it's hard to get, you know, medical assistance up there. But as beautiful and cuddly as some of these woodland creatures can be, you definitely want to keep your distance.
Yeah.
Now, we're at the end of 2023. Is there any hiking goals that you want to accomplish before the end of the year? And any hiking goals you have planned for 2024?
For this year, like I was mentioning, the Machu Picchu trek that I'm going to do. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm also hoping to do a couple of solo hikes that to me are going to be important in southern New Mexico, like more than likely the Oregon Mountains. I'm also going to hope to do some group hikes that I'm wanting to still kind of plan out. Well, for 2024, I'm going to try to focus a little bit more on some co-ed events just because I've had some friends and some family members like, hey, you're always doing things for women. Like, we're not going to do stuff for guys because we want to come and like experience it too. So I think I really want to focus a little bit more on co-ed. And so I'm really hoping to do that. That I will do within New Mexico as well. Just because, you know, this is the state that I live in. I really love it and I'm passionate about it. So I want to get more people to experience the outdoors. I just recently took my nephew this past weekend to his first backpacking trip and he loved it. And that was special for me because very few of my family members want to go do a lot of the outdoors. I'm like that one crazy person that's always outdoors. Like, oh, there goes Chris. He's probably in the mountains again. And that's just because I love it. And it's like my exercise too. And so I'm hoping to do a little bit more with my family as well in the outdoors. aside from just community things, but do a little bit more with my family.
Oh, that's great. Well, that was it for the regular questions, Christina. This next section of the podcast is the this or that questions. So I'm going to give you two hiking related topics, and this is totally personal preference, but you just choose out of the two which one you prefer. So the first one is, do you prefer ascending or descending?
Definitely descending. I love running down.
And then do you prefer waterfalls or summits?
Summits, because I have access to waterfalls, less access to them down south.
Now, when it comes to your trail system, do you prefer switchbacks or straight up?
I would say straight up.
And are you team trek poles or freehand?
Team trek poles.
Now, when it comes to your footwear, do you wear trail runners or hiking boots?
Hiking boots.
And then this is another trail system question, but do you like a loop trail or an out and back trail?
I think I prefer more the out and back trails.
And then when you come across a body of water, especially in a hot summer New Mexico day, do you stay dry or do you jump in?
I stay dry. I don't really like water. I'm not a water person. That's why I like the trails.
And this one, I think, might be the hardest one for you, but sunsets or sunrises?
Sunsets, because I'm not a morning person. I will wake up occasionally, and sunrises are gorgeous, but I tend to go out doing more sunset chasing.
Okay. And then this one's another tough one, but spring wildflowers or fall colors?
The spring wildflowers.
Yeah. Especially the desert wildflowers and the wildflowers that come from the cactuses. Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This last one's the most controversial one, Christina, but when it comes to social media, do you tag a hike or do you not tag a hike?
Okay, so when I started, I used to tag, but as time has gone by, I don't tag the location. As a matter of fact, the majority of the time I'll put like just New Mexico. Sometimes people, you start learning the location, but just to protect the location, I feel like I don't want to, especially if it's like something where I know people can get lost at. You know, it's not a well-known trail and it's kind of far out and I know there's not cell phone service. I tend to be a little bit more discreet about it. But what I do encourage people is ask me and I'll give you the general like idea. And I say, do your research, because that's the fun of this. That's how I once learned. Nobody just handed over this information to me, and I'm not trying to keep it to myself, but I'm encouraging you to do like your job, which is research. Look it up. And that's a part of the experience. So I give them the general area and let them go from there.
I like that. And I'll say, at least from personal experience, some of the most memorable trails that I've done are the ones where I've had to do research because it wasn't tagged. And then doing the research and then making it out on the trail definitely not impacts you, but it definitely adds another layer to the experience.
It makes you appreciate it just on a whole different level. Like, I did all this research and this is where I'm at. Like, and then you get to, not that we're doing it also to like, you know, for our, it boosts your self-esteem, because at the same time, your hard work pays off.
Exactly. I like that. Well, that was it for the this or that questions, Christina. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. You know, you are an amazing ambassador for New Mexico outdoors, because you highlight such a diverse landscape where, like, for me, next time I'm going to New Mexico, like, I'll be sure to hit up north instead of going down south and just east, west, and now hot springs, especially knowing that New Mexico has hot springs. But I can't thank you enough for joining us on the podcast. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate it again. I'm glad you got to learn about New Mexico. And my hope and goal is that other people get to learn about New Mexico and come out to explore it. We have an amazing state. It's waiting for you all.
And then, oh, one last thing, Christina, if folks want to see those beautiful pictures that you take, where can they see those pictures on social media?
On my Instagram. My account name is Just A Chris. So JustAKrys. Just A Chris.
Perfect.
So if you look that up, that's where I tend to share all my pictures. And I am working on a website right now where I'm hoping to be able to put up my pictures, like for people to view, but also the goal of to purchase, you know, just because New Mexico is gorgeous. And on there, eventually, I want to be sharing about the different community events that I'll be doing, whether it's the Women Who Explore, a co-ed event, or other things like that, even good information.
Yeah. And then once it launches, Christina, make sure to send it our way. We can always update the episode show notes with it so people can check it out. Yeah, thank you so much. And if people haven't followed you on social media, please do so you can see the beautiful pictures that she's been able to post. Again, thank you once again for coming on.
Awesome. Thank you so much again. It was a pleasure.
And that brings us to the end of this episode alongside Chris. We extend our heartfelt thanks to her for coming on the podcast. Make sure to stay connected and follow her upcoming adventures on Instagram at JustaChris. That's JustaKrys. Be sure to check out all the episode show notes to learn more about some of the great organizations mentioned in today's episode. We have an incredible lineup of episodes planned throughout the fall, and we can't wait to share them with you. New episodes will be dropping every Monday with occasional bonus episodes on Fridays. To ensure you never miss out on those thrilling tales, remember to hit that like and subscribe button. Your support means the world to us. Don't forget to join our vibrant community on Instagram at Hikes and Mikes. We'll be sharing episode visuals, my own personal hiking content, and so much more. Let's stay connected and continue to inspire each other on this remarkable journey. As we bid farewell, remember to tread those happy trails, embrace the great outdoors, and keep the spirit of adventure alive. Until next time, my fellow explorers, happy hiking. This episode's music was created by Ketsa. Follow him on Instagram at Ketsa Music. This episode is brought to you by Flip Socks. Whether you're on the trail, on the job, or in the yard, Flip Socks will keep Mother Nature out of your boots with their innovative nylon sleeve. You no longer need to worry about any annoying debris getting trapped in your boots during your hikes. Simply flip down the nylon sleeve over any boot to prevent Mother Nature from finding its way inside, keeping your feet comfortable all day long. To get your first pair, visit flipsockswithaz.com and enter promo code HikesMikes10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for listeners who use the promo code at checkout, I'll be donating 100% of the Season 2 promo code proceeds to Big City Mountaineers, who provide transformative experiences through connections to nature that strengthen life skills and build community for youth and disinvested communities across the nation. So if you're tired of bits and pieces of the trail finding its way into your hiking boots, pick up a pair of Flip Socks today with the promo code HikesMikes10 to get 10% off. For website and promo code, see the episode description.